Welcome to Disrupt Disruption, a series of intimate interviews with global thought leaders and practitioners operating at the intersection of business, leadership, and technology. We're discussing all things innovation and disruption and how to not only survive but thrive in these times of exponentially accelerating change. Trusted by CEOs, founders, and leaders globally for the latest take on business models, methods, culture, and leadership, we cut to the chase, debunk the hype, and get real. You're in great company. I'm your host, Pascal Finette, co-founder of Be Radical. Hey, everybody, this is Pascal Finette. I am back with another episode of Disrupt Disruption. I am super, super excited to be talking to the CEO and founder of Hydro, Bruce Smith. Hydro is a connected rowing machine, but it is so much more. It is truly the best 20 minutes of a person's day when they get onto Hydro. There's a huge community behind it. We'll dig into this a little bit more in our conversation. Bruce has a long background and story in rowing. He was a former head of the Charles River Winner, which is the most important boat race, at least on this side of the pond. He coached the U.S. Lightweight 8 to a bronze medal in the 2015 World Rowing Championships and is a former executive director of Community Rowing Boston, which is a huge community in Boston. Bruce, I'm super stoked to have you here.
It's so great to talk with you again. This is my favorite subject. I'm really excited for our conversation today.
Awesome. I want to start off with your company, your product and your company have been hugely disruptive in the sports market. You're growing like wildfire. I'm pretty sure many of our listeners have seen your social media advertisement. Every time I mention Hydro, and full disclosure, I own a Hydro. I'm a huge fan. I mention Hydro to someone, they are always like, oh man, I see it always in my Instagram or my Facebook feeds. How do you conceptually think about disruption? What is your mental model to get us started here?
We have a North Star at Hydro, which is focused on the world being in kind of a tough spot. And what can we do to make it not end as quickly as it seems to be ending right now? So much plastic in the environment, so many challenges with water, so many disruptions to our community, so little trust between human beings. And honestly, Hydro is a response to all of those things. And we say pretty regularly at our company meeting, if somebody has a better idea to make the world better faster, let's quit what we're doing and we'll go do that. But we really believe strongly in our North Star that Hydro is this way to help people feel better themselves, feel better about their place in the world and their connection to other people, that they matter to other people, and also give them a very direct connection to the environment and to water. We want to be the best 20 minutes of your day. And in that way, hopefully help people be kinder to themselves, their families, their coworkers, make better decisions at work. We can dig in a little bit to people's ideas of competition, but also how people can, it's not a new model, to be a champion for one of the more successful models for human interaction and engagement.
Yes, you went into an industry which was, and to a certain extent still is, dominated by a company, a machine, which feels like it's from the 80s. It clearly is a very robust machine coming from a company called Concept. And you completely upended that industry. You designed a machine which is aesthetically extremely pleasing. You created a community around this. You built an online connected version of it. How did you get started with that?
I really love the Concept 2 rowing machine, and I have spent many, many, many hundreds of hours on it. And in fact, more than once in a single day, I've rowed 100,000 meters, which took me a really long time, more than 10 hours. And I wouldn't recommend it. It's not a good time. We did it on the last day of January a few times. And so it's an amazing machine and an amazing, amazingly robust device. The thing that it didn't do, and the reason that I was so hell-bent on getting Hydro started fast, was because we all know it's the best exercise. It uses your whole body. It's really great. Mm-hmm. And I think you used Concept 2 before you got a Hydro. Mm-hmm. And they're amazing. They're bulletproof. You don't have to plug them in. But they're not connected to the aesthetic and the moral and the community experience, above all, the community experience you have in analog rowing. And rowing is one of those things that used to be really popular. It became this sort of super niche-like thing for rich white people, basically. And the rich white people aren't stupid. People know this experience of community that you have when you're rowing is so extraordinary and transformative. And could we make that connect it to the indoor rowing experience, because we know that indoor rowing eventually is going to take over the world as exercise. It's just better. CrossFit's been promoting it, Orange Theory's been promoting it, and we know that it's growing at twice the rate that cycling and running indoors have been growing. So we know that eventually rowing is going to be the dominant form of exercise. It was crucial to us to connect that community experience and those values to what happens on the indoor rowing machine. That was like the key motivation. I stay in touch with the Dressgacker brothers who built the concept too, and there's a place for that. We don't see a conflict between those things. The Hydro is really for those people who don't have access to the rowing world and need that community connection, that there's nothing like swinging down the river with your crew. You know, those posters of teamwork. How do you recreate that thing? And I think that's a key, for me anyway, it's key insight. Analog experiences that can be digitized and made available to millions, that's a great tool to think about for disruption. And this was one of those moments when it's like, oh, we can take a significant percentage of the analog experience and digitize it and turn it into a SaaS product, largely.
What I find so fascinating about the Hydro is the first time I saw it, it is such a well-rounded, well-designed experience. It is not what your typical startup, like MVP type of experience is. I'm curious, in the innovation and design process, how do you build something like this when you probably don't have the ability to do these like small iterative steps? Or are you actually doing those?
No, we did not. We probably should have. A lot of people think that business is science. I think that business is just another expression of humanity. And there are these moments of creativity that happen in the world, and you make jumps. And Steve Ballmer said it differently. I think he said every business has a trick, like one big trick, and that's your trick for forever. And Apple is worth $3 trillion because they have more than one trick. Mm-hmm. For us, that trick was bringing together this extraordinary shape that was the result of a design process that was really rooted in my experience and my history and my family, and then this amazingly talented designer, Julie Wood, she came up with this thing. So we had four competing designs. Mm-hmm. We had three competing designs. There was a meeting on a Friday in March in 2018, and it was the meeting to decide, this is our shape. And the three designs that we've been working on for 3 months, and I didn't believe in a lot of iteration. The night before the meeting, she came up with the fourth design, and it was the shape of the Hydro. And it was really the pictures that we kept on the wall were the 1971 Maserati Ghibli and a Stempfli rowing single, this beautiful rowing single. Mm-hmm. And those two things, and it just came together with water and fluidity. And I didn't have the nerve to choose it. I was like, no, this is not enough like a piece of rowing equipment. People can't believe in this. And thank goodness we had a really experienced engineer at one of the companies that we were working with, Gerhard Palucka, who was kind enough to take me aside after I picked a more normal looking device as our thing. And he was like, wait, Bruce, like, you know how you said that was the most beautiful one, but you didn't have the nerve to choose it? Choose that one. Don't lose your nerve. And that was a key moment. And there were two or three things like that where you're like, oh, we can make these really big jumps and be genuinely transformative, and we're just going to go with it. And we didn't know if it would work. We had no idea. So we got our first prototype in June. The first hint that we had that it might resonate was an Indiegogo campaign where we sold out in 4 minutes. And we were like, oh, okay, maybe people like it. But it was there are these creationary moments, and I think you have to create the environment for them. You need nerves of steel and genuine ability to relax in a moment of extreme stress. And it's the same thing I looked for when I was coaching. There are athletes who, the higher the stress level, the tighter they get and the harder it is for them to perform. And there are other athletes who, the greater the stress level, the more they relax. And building a team of people who are able to turn up the pressure cooker, we turn up the pressure cooker, and they just keep performing better and better. And that was the kind of team we were lucky enough to assemble. And that's when those moments came together. I wish it was more reliable, like if we could recreate those conditions. But truthfully, I'm so grateful that we were able to just experience it at the beginning of Hydro, because it really did work. It was a moment.
You have a strong background in rowing, and I wonder, how much is this necessary? Would you say it's necessary to be successful in doing what you're doing? Because in the startup world, you see a lot of startup founders going into industries where they, quite frankly, have no expertise. And in some ways, it's beneficial because they look at problems with fresh eyes. They see things differently. They're not encumbered by old knowledge or the way it has to be done. How much is this in the sports industry? How much do you think the sheer fact that you have such a deep anchor in the rowing world was beneficial or worked against you sometimes?
No, hugely beneficial. I know nothing about manufacture. I know very little about software development and product development. And I also knew very little about shooting content and creating content on the water. So those things I knew literally nothing about. We built a couple of things at Community Rowing on a very small scale. We built some coach boats and a couple of other things, but I'd never built anything in Taiwan. I knew zero about this thing. However, I did have this North Star lifetime kind of obsession with rowing, and that allowed us to make these leaps where we could say, no, that actually is authentic. That is a real thing. And we can maintain that authenticity through the creation and put it into these new areas. And that's where I think fitness is so bizarre. It's kind of like marketing. Everybody is a marketing expert. And my chief marketing officer used to make this joke with our chief technology officer. She would say, after he would offer some excellent advice about an advertising campaign, she would say, that's great. And now I'm just going to go for you for half a day. And then you can use my code because that's going to be really insightful for you. And it's that same that same kind of thing where you need the authenticity, and it's lovely to not know stuff. It's a combination of those two things. And in fitness, so many people don't know. They go to some cycling classes or they have an idea. And I think without the grounding in the knowledge of the sport, then you end up zooming way off track and you end up selling people powder-coated steel that is a fad. We really aim to deliver what we promise. And that's something that I think in the specific to the fitness world, there's just an enormous amount of promise that never gets delivered on. And Hydro is really trying to break that cycle. And I think the confluence of technology and information and good data on people's overall whole health and the journey that they need to be on is starting to come into much stronger focus than it ever has. And we're trying very hard to crystallize that. Being an actual subject matter expert in overall community engagement and rowing allows us to deliver on the promise in a way that not many fitness companies do. It's a little bit like when you step back, like here's $1 billion. I want you to go build a fitness company, but you'd know nothing about fitness. How does that make any sense? it's kind of a funny approach. So I think it's subject matter expert and gap in actual functional subject matter expertise for Hydro. It was the tension between those two things that allowed for that creationary moment. It sounds a little woo-woo, but I think that's actually what happened.
No, I love the concept. Since you truly pioneered this world of connected rowing devices, as we talked earlier, there was rowing devices before, clearly. They were not connected, though.
Yeah.
They had a very different feel, at least for me. I owned a Concept 2 before I bought a Hydro. The Concept 2 for me is like a barbell. Like it's a tool. Yeah,
exactly.
Like the Hydro is an experience. Now I see in my social media streams, probably because I gush so much about Hydro, I see all these ads from all your competitors. And I found this so fascinating. I saw one ad the other day. You have got one of your athletes, one of your trainers. It's a very distinct, like British accent, like very British guy, Mike. And one of your competitors had a dude who not only spoke like Mike, he looked like Mike.
It's so great.
It's love this it. Weird, like carbon copy version. Yeah. How do you conceptually stay ahead of the market? Because there is a tendency of all markets, we see this over and over again, that they tend to commoditize everything.
Yeah.
And how do you stay ahead of the commodity?
Yeah, right. I think it's understanding what the product really is and the experience. And the truth is that the key motivating factor, so everybody in the world knows they should work out. About 20% of the people in the world are like you and they don't need any motivation. We could take away all of the tools that you have, all the fun little games that you play for fitness, you would still exercise. You'd still be in great shape. 80% of the people are not like you. So they need extra motivations. And so they have 8 units of motivation, but they need 10 to do it every day. Mm-hmm. And that's where that community piece is so important, and it becomes a network effect. So on the one hand, we have the most authentic, and we believe that the claim to be the very best. And we actually have patented the experience broadcasting from the water to the home, and people who are infringing on that won't be able to for that much longer. So the experience that Hydro delivers is patented. So we own that for the next 17 years. And that's actually how Concept 2 became so dominant. They had a patent on their algorithm that told you how fast you were going and became like a standardized measurement tool. Mm-hmm. So we have that patent from the water to the home. And then the real magic is in the members that we have, and they are the actual engine for all of the good stuff that happens, and it becomes a flywheel. So mm-hmm. I believe that we've passed the tipping point now where we have this really large group of people, and we have this opportunity to continue to iterate on the product. And the coolest thing about our product is that it's not the same. So when you turn on your Hydro in 2023, you're going to have not one experience, but two or three different experiences with different actual physical modalities, and the ability to iterate and change on those and embed the community in those different modalities. When you take those two things and you put them together, we think that we have an incredibly great lead. I love that there are people out there copying us. It's the most flattering thing and the best thing for rowing, honestly. Having lots of people saying that rowing is great is unbelievably positive for Hydro, because we're the OG and the best. So having entry-level products and copycat products is just fantastic.
And this goes back to this question of what's the next innovation and disruption, particular disruption in the fitness and sports market. There's so much coming to the market at the moment. I think we probably started out with arguably, I guess the spinning bikes were probably the first thing we saw. And then we saw a bit of like connected treadmills, clearly saw the rowers. We see these smart mirrors now. I see them everywhere, like the tonal type of things. It feels like at the moment there's this mad rush of take any sport and try to put a screen on it or put it in front of a screen. I'm curious, where do you see the next disruption coming? Where's this train heading to?
Yeah, the live outdoor reality aspect of Hydro for us is the key for the next decade. And when you look at what's happening with Oculus and Apple, the investment that's going into getting out from under two-dimensional screens. And for us, we position the company specifically to take advantage of the immersiveness that we can create when you start to wear your screens on your glasses instead of have them in a, you know, flat two-dimensional 24 inches from your nose. And it's really that immersiveness and understanding the pillars of whole health. One of those pillars is the experience of the natural world. It's not available to people in the way that it needs to be, unless you've organized your life super well and have moved, for example, to Colorado and can get outside every day. You're really somebody like me stuck in Cambridge in an office, but the opportunity to immerse yourself in the natural world and have that mixed reality experience. And when you combine that with what's happening with 5G and the ability to interact, we're so excited about the future. And we've built an experience for Oculus just internally because we were really curious what that would look like. It's amazing. Sweating with a big headset on your head is not that great, but the human connection and the immersiveness in nature that you can achieve is overwhelmingly positive. So cool. And so the ability to travel around the world and deliver that experience and go to really special places, we think is extraordinary. So take that and combine it with amazing community, and then also this opportunity to gamify. And we're just at the very, very beginning of making gamification something beyond. We're at the Pong stage of gamification for overall fitness. So take that immersiveness and the change in the form factor that you'll wear comfortably on your face instead of using a screen, and gamification and community and that two-way communication that comes with 5G and eventually 6G communication. So 2028, rather than you and I seeing each other, you know, once in a while on a podcast, we'll be able to see each other on our glasses as we go out and experience that rhythm and synchronicity together. I think to me, that's where the future is extremely, extremely interesting. The other piece that I'm excited about is just the actual real data and quantification of the self and personalization of your health journey. And I bought P90X. I love P90X. Tony Horton's like the greatest trainer in the world. And I did it twice. And the thing is that it's my wife you know, that's not her thing and it's not appropriate for her and it's not appropriate for me. It was appropriate for me 10 years ago. What you need today is so specialized, and the ability to use AI and understand what you need and what your spouse needs and deliver specifically those two separate prescriptions for whole health is that's a very near term thing. We're doing pieces of that now. And over the next 2-3 years, it's just going to get exponentially better.
In this context, how do you see the market splitting between I do them because they're good for me, I take my vitamins in the mornings, or I do my sports because I want to stay fit. And then there's the I do it because I choose to do it. And it feels like to me, the market becomes ever more so bifurcated. There's this whole set of things we do because we can and we're supposed to do them and we know that they're good for us. And then there's these like peak experiences, which we're seeking out. And it feels to me is like there's a little bit of a bifurcation in the market where the peak experiences become more relevant and even peakier. And then there's the I schlep my butt into a spinning class and I do the spinning class. I don't actually really like it, but it's something I do. Are you seeing this in the fitness world, in your world as well?
Actually, we're very inspired by the fun that people have in high school and team sports. Mm. When you were a kid and you really, really looked forward to practice, like that was the best part of your day. And why was it the best part? And we know a lot about that. We know that it's social. We know that there's some competition. We know that there's support. We know there's accountability. And we can build those things. And I think the peak experience piece, to your point, by definition, you can only have a certain number of peak experiences. And you need to invest in the groundwork to build those peak experiences in a lot of cases. And so with Hydro, as we continue to build these programs, people are so different. I think that the radical insight is just how different people are, how different people need different things. And looking for the Beatles of fitness, it's kind of a red herring at this point. It's what made high school sports so much fun for some people. And why did other people dread high school sports? And we can actually build, because of the plasticity of the platform that we have, because it's ones and zeros, because it's content, because it's streaming, it can change and morph. And we know more and more about who you are and what turns you on. So I see it as really leaning in and making healthy things really attractive. Like it's so delicious. And winning against corn syrup and the couch requires a lot of greatness, but with the right kind of creativity, you can actually create these experiences that people of all shapes, sizes, and preferences really, really, really respond to. We see it in the platform now, but again, we're in the first or second pitch of a 12-inning game. I'm terrible at baseball analogies, but I think that's a good one. Yeah.
What's the rowing analogy for that?
The rowing analogy would be we're in the first stroke of a head of the trials race.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. Right. Are you seeing a convergence of the space? It feels to me that at the moment we've got all these largely disjunct experiences. I've got my Apple Watch giving me my Fitbit or my Oura Ring. I've got my Hydro where I row. I've got my nutritionist who tells me what I need to eat. I've got, you know, my Calm app, which tells me how I chill out. I've got my fall asleep thing, which helps me sleep. All these things. Some of them start to talk to each other through data exchange. You know, a bunch of apps connect to my Strava account, as Hydro does now, or to my Apple Health thing. But it feels to me there must be a huge opportunity, or maybe there is a huge opportunity for someone to build essentially the Apple of quote-unquote fitness, right? Like the ecosystem.
I know. So it is really interesting just as a company executive, you know, to watch the advanced teams for the FANG stocks poking around fitness. Mm-hmm. I think everybody knows that it's there. And when you start to converge, like we're talking with a little AI startup that's in the healthcare industry because they have some data that's some technology that will be really helpful for our members. And there is this, it's an overpromise, underdeliver kind of scenario right now where people do promise a lot and are not able to actually pull together the right data. And they're just a bunch of technical problems that need to be overcome as well as all of these different pieces. But We absolutely see that convergence happening, but it's going to happen over a decade. So a good example is just the sensors that people use. So Apple Watch sensors are okay, but they're not foolproof. You know, so the data is like, we really need to scrub that data and see what's coming out of that. Heart rate variability, a lot more work needs to be done to figure out how to really apply that effectively. But for us, the magic and the reason we believe so strongly in this, and I think the reason that we get so many knocks on our door, is because we have the footprint in the home. You know, we claim a space in the home, and it's something that people are proud of. It's like their fridge. There are these spaces in the home, and having that real estate over the next 10 years, because it's not going to go away. People need this basic thing. And this is one of the key gateways for that convergence of all of those different services. And I think that it's easy to theorize about it. The technical challenges behind it are extremely hard. And it's why we actually hire more data scientists, or have hired more data scientists in the past 6 months than I have directors for content, because the magic is in building the infrastructure and giving our members real control over the long-term data that they're capturing and using that to leverage their prescription for whole health. The combination of platform and hardware, I think, is unbelievably compelling. And that footprint in the home is something that we believe is going to have long-term enormous value for our members.
As a last closing question, I want to go all the way back to the beginnings. And I'm curious, if I'm listening to this podcast, I'm interested in embarking on a journey into a new area. We have lots of executives who are thinking about expanding what they're currently doing into adjacent fields. We've got startup people who probably want to start something new, coming out of the sports world, building this now huge company and being really, truly innovative and thus disruptive. How do you start? Where did you start? What would you advise someone to? Here's what you really need to get right.
I wish I could answer that. I got incredibly lucky with my first employee, super, super smart, super experienced, so much better than I am. And I continue to add people like that. And I think if you want to start a great business today, so the reason those people came is not because the idea was so great. It was because the intention behind the company was to make the world a slightly better place. And it was that intention that has allowed us to collect the most amazing group of people. We have this core group of employees who just accomplish more. You know, they're definitely, you know, we have a couple hundred people and we're competing with companies with thousands of people successfully. And it's because they are such exceptional humans, and it was the mission to leave the world a little better than we found it that attracted them. So I think if you're starting with those intentions, you can find the right team. And if you have the right team, there is truly like the sky's the limit in terms of what you can accomplish. So I would say start with that intention and figure out very clearly, if you are going into the digital world, what analog experience you're seeking to solve for. And understanding those connections between the analog and the digital is crucial if you're going to build a product for humans. So those two things, I think, would be my best advice, but I would encourage people to look for advice elsewhere too. It's really better lucky than good in a lot of ways, the product of a lot of years of obsessive compulsive engagement with this rowing thing.
Bruce, that was a fantastic conversation. I absolutely loved your insights. I am so fascinated by the industry. I think this is such an interesting industry because it is so fast moving. It really feels it is at this tipping point where it like tips over from what it used to be for 100 years plus to something completely different. And I think Hydro really is at the forefront of that, driving this in this particular area of rowing, but as you pointed out, in a much broader sense around connected fitness and community. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. Absolutely loved the conversation. And for everybody, go check out Hydro. It is truly the best 20 minutes you can spend a day, and it'll make you really fit. That's the other piece. Thanks so much, Bruce.
It was great to be here. Thank you very, very much for the conversation. It's really fun.
Hey, it's Pascal. Thanks for tuning in on this episode of Disrupt Disruption. If you want more, check out the other episodes we have on this podcast. And if you liked it, do us a favor. Go on your podcasting platform of choice, iTunes, Google Play, whatever it is, and leave a quick review. It helps tremendously with getting the insights from our guests out into the world. If you have any questions, send me an email. You can reach me at pascal@finet.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will hear you here soon.